This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We are back. The Walking Dead is balancing again between two timelines. There is a bittersweet reunion between Jocelyn and Michonne, we find out why she's closed off to Alexandria and that she has a change of heart with Judith. We've got our favorite segment coming up, plus some news and gossip. Do not move a muscle.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, Walking Dead fans? We've got a full battle, you guys! I'm very excited about it. Clearly, we are all very excited about it. I am joined by my lovely ladies. Since there's so many of us, go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
I'll start. Yes. Hi, guys. I'm your host, Krista Flengy.
Hey, guys. I'm Angel Taylor.
And I'm April Wissenhan.
And I'm Timothy Michael. I'm so excited we're all here today.
I know.
You guys.
This is great. And a perfect episode to be here for.
I was just stealing the words out of my mouth. You're starting already. No, I love it. I love it. I'm so excited about this episode. I was excited about last episode. I'm sorry that I missed it, you guys. So I might go jumping back and forth between my opinions. But I do want to focus on this episode tonight. This episode, season 9, episode 14, called Scars. We find out a lot tonight, you guys. There are some flashbacks. We find out a lot of what happened. There's some... what do they call it? Loose ends that are tied up.
Yes.
Kind of. They're still opening some things up. I want to hear your overall thoughts on the episode.
I'm so happy that we finally... I know there's still questions that need to be answered, but for like so many weeks, we kept being like, what's this dark time that happened during, you know, that hiatus we had, the 8-year gap that makes Michonne not want to let anyone in?
Yeah.
And we finally got a little bit of that. Which, actually, a lot of that, because that was dark. Mm-hmm. But I'm so glad we finally got it, because I was like, what happened to her? That I know Rick died, but that happened to her.
Yeah.
That was crazy.
It was, the whole entire thing was just so, like, emotionally draining, but in a good way. Mm-hmm. Because you see, you know, it's like, just when I think I'm able to not move past, or God, I'll never move past Rick, but like maybe stop thinking about it as much, they take me right back in, and it's right back into Daryl and Michonne looking for him. And just in those moments, you know, with her finding the gun, and honestly just seeing her as being pregnant and still searching for him, it was just like this, you know, this is never gonna go away for them. And to see, you know, that they kind of went through something. It's not like a long, drawn-out thing like it was with the Saviors or like it is with the Whisperers. Like, this is kind of a, you know, maybe a few-day type thing.
I like
but
that.
But it made that much of a literal scar on them. Plus, with the kids, like, oh, they haven't hit us like that with something, like, sadistic like
that
this in
dark.
A while.
Yeah.
I was really glad that they brought up Michonne and Rick's baby again, because they touched on it and then they let it go. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how could you let that go? I want to see more. And then to show the pregnancy and that whole thing, her being lonely and then Daryl being lonely, and Daryl's like, I'm actually okay with being alone. I mean, I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But so I was really glad that, like you said, they tied up a couple of loose ends, and I'm glad that they took the focus off of the Whisperers just for this hot second, you know, because I was like getting overwhelmed a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Angel, I'm glad you brought up the whole pregnancy thing, because I know we predicted a couple of episodes ago, at least I did, about Rosita's pregnancy and how I honestly don't think that they're going to show her pregnant, because she's just one of those characters where I can't imagine her being pregnant.
Agreed.
And then I predicted that she would lose the baby and all this other stuff. And I felt the same way about Michonne, which is why I'm glad they did this flashback, because we got to see her in this vulnerable state, but it's freaking Michonne, and she's not vulnerable ever, even when she's like 8 months pregnant and's got this huge belly. How did you guys feel about the balancing between the two timelines in this episode? Did you like the flashbacks? Were you confused by them?
I think they did a good job with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm so glad her hair was different. That was how I was able to keep up.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, she has the shaved head in current time, and then the flashback, she has the full dreads. And that's how I was able to, like, keep everything in alignment.
Because they did move around a lot. So it was, like, back and forth. So you had to be on it.
You couldn't always see her stomach was the bad thing. I mean, like, you could, but she's still, like, a, you know, they made her a very tiny, fit, pregnant woman, which is how she would be in real life, I presume.
With a fuller face.
Well, yeah, true. Yes, definitely. But I liked that they did it because I like going back to my Rick times. Like, it's just such a, you have to move on as a show, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's also like, it does a lot of justice to his character and everything that's gone on. And I think they had to do that because of all the stuff with Judith tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, just to be able to kind of explain.
Yeah.
Which, dear Lord, I can't even talk about
this episode
right now.
Was Judith heavy, and I was here for
it. Yeah, I liked it.
I like that.
Agreed. Now, this isn't the first time that the Walking Dead universe has played with the balancing of timelines. They've done flashbacks and presents before. They've done a lot of them, actually. In the Fear of the Walking Dead, they do it. And in the Walking Dead, they do it. In Fear of the Walking Dead, when they do it, there's more of like a color change, if you will, when it comes to the present and the...
There's a filter.
Exactly. And I felt the same way with this episode. I felt like when it was a flashback, it was more like sepia-toned. I don't know if you guys realized that. And then it was when the current, it was more of like, you know, just colors.
Today,
like, yeah. Exactly. And I like that they do that just to keep us on, because like you said, Krista, when they do the jumping back and forth, it does kind of get hard to follow, especially like oh my God, April said. Mm-hmm. It's hard when they're not showing her, like, you know, pregnant, or when you don't see her hair, like, it's just weird when you can't stay on top of it because they're jumping around so much.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I do like it because it does keep us on our toes.
It does.
Same.
How did you guys feel about the whole thing with Lydia? Because I wasn't here last week. They finally get to the hilltop with her. I mean, sorry, they get to Alexandria with her. And this kind of sets off Michonne's, like, why she's hesitant to let people in.
Yeah.
But it's honestly because of Daryl that she's with her. Like, Daryl's, like, vouching for her. Mm-hmm. But still, you can kind of see the struggle between her and Aaron about letting this one person in. Plus, if you guys notice, she's a kid.
Yeah.
Which is just total foreshadowing to what happens. So how did you feel about her, you know, just, like, this kind of hesitation to be like, okay, open the gate?
I mean, they should be more hesitant.
Yeah, I agree. And then, but what kind of made me angry with Michonne is once they did let them in and everything, Michonne, like, sat on the steps with her and gave her that whole, like, you should leave.
Yeah.
But, like, didn't say it like that, you know? Well, if I could go back and do things, which I get where Michonne was going from, but she also doesn't know Henry's just going to go find her again. Mm-hmm. And then that's going to put Daryl in trouble again. So it's like... And also, she is just a kid, so this is, like, so tough. And they do end up leaving, and I know she's putting, like, the whole group in danger being there, but then you should have never let her in the first place. Don't let her in and then be like, you should leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
It didn't come across to me as she was saying, you should leave. It came across as a threat. Like, if you cause any type of funk, I'm coming for you. Hmm. So this is your fair warning. Get out now.
Yeah.
And if you're completely innocent and you're ready to walk a straight line, then, you know.
Yeah, I took it because she was talking about her past and she's like, if I could just go back and make it easier, I would just take myself out of the situation.
Yeah.
And she kept saying, if I could just take myself out and not hurt anyone else. And she just kept hanging on that. And I was like, you're telling her to just leave. Because obviously she wants Henry safe.
Yeah.
Henry's her people. Daryl's her people. And she knows at the end of the day that she's going to leave with, that they're all going to leave with Lydia. So she's probably like, how do I separate them? Mm-hmm. So like Daryl and them stay safe. And like, which I get, but.
I guess I just keep going back to like, it would have been. You know, we talk a lot about Henry being very naive. And clearly the reason that Lydia is there is because of Henry, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been a great way to kind of teach Henry that lesson. I mean, okay, maybe it's teaching the lesson of like, when good people come in, we should let them in, we should help them, whatever. But it's like, not when it's going to take down so many others.
People
like,
are crazy.
It's, you know, it's that like, age-old question, save the one or save the many. Right. There's never a perfect answer to that scenario, but it is straight up Henry just being dumb because he, you know, liked this girl a little bit. He has no idea what she's done or who she is. And that's the whole point. And that's, you know, even like to Judith's point later about letting the people in and going to help Hilltop and whatever. But it's just a different scenario.
It's like helping your people versus helping. Yeah.
Versus helping a stranger. Yeah. Because you're about to cause a huge potential massacre by doing what you did.
Which that kind of makes me like Michonne's talk a little bit better too, because if Lydia likes Henry as much as Henry obviously likes Lydia, she like knows how dangerous Alpha is, and you know, so she knows that following them is only going to bring trouble. So
let's put this out there. Do you guys think that Lydia is being genuine with her affection for Henry?
I honestly think that after she saw that there is a life outside of what she's known, that
she's getting better.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that, I mean, this is like years of just brainwashing. So I can understand why people would be hesitant to trust her. I mean, I think we all should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that she is genuine in how she cares for these people and understands that these people have risked their lives for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's starting to slowly realize that that's what a family is. And it's not somebody who tries to close you off to everything and everybody.
I mean, that's a really good point, obviously. Yeah. It's not like this chick is, you know, Harry Potter about to go sacrifice herself to Voldemort. Mm-hmm. Like, sorry, my nerd just came out.
But I love it. That's, I'm here for it.
That's all I can think of, you know? Okay, like, obviously, let's guess she's 15 years old. We don't know. But it's not like, you know, by Michonne being like, hey, you should leave, she's going to go sacrifice herself because essentially that's what she would be doing. And at this point, it's almost just like too late, which is why I do think her feelings are genuine, but I think they are genuine because, well, at this point, what else can she do? And also, definitely what you said, you can see this kind of epiphany come over her whenever she sees all of them interacting like, oh, this is how people treat each other, not like this. But it is still her mom, and it is still these people that she grew up with. Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing that scares me a little
bit. So it does feel kind of selfish in a way, almost, her not wanting to go back because she wants to try this life, but also knowing what, that's hard.
What she's risking.
At first, I did feel she was a little bit less genuine, but I think, as times went on, she's starting to adjust and she can see what could be.
I still don't trust her.
You don't. I know, there is
that's okay, Angel.
No,
that's okay.
Yeah.
We can understand why you do not. I mean,
she's hard to trust.
Proceed with caution.
Yeah.
And, she won over Daryl's affection too, so.
Quick.
I was just like, really, Daryl? Like,
it seemed quick for Daryl. Daryl's usually very.
I think it's because of their connection that they have with their whole abusive past.
And
I love
that young girl. And he, like, always, for kids, too, he's got a soft spot.
That's true.
Especially young ladies. Have we not noticed that
this season? Yes, agreed. That's a good point. I like that you brought that up.
Yeah.
That's
I think it's because of Henry, too, though. Like, because of Henry being Carol's son. I didn't mean to use air quotes. Yes. He is her son.
I didn't even think about that. Their relationship.
Yeah. He's trying
to protect
him. Yeah.
It's like, if he is... I mean, obviously, he was like, no, she's got to go, whatever. And then Henry went after her. So there's only, you know, it's just like Judith tonight. There are only so many ways you can be like, no, you're not doing this. Mm-hmm. If they just keep going
Damn
after
kid.
It, you have to figure out another plan. Exactly. They're going to get our favorite people killed, and I'm going to be pissed.
Right. And let's be real. If Carol found out that something happened to Henry under Daryl's watch.
Oh, my gosh.
It would be bad.
He will never forgive himself, for sure.
Right?
There will be hell to pay.
Yes.
More souls will burn.
That was that's a battle I don't ever want to see.
No, that would be really crazy.
That'd be kind of interesting.
She will turn into short hair Carol.
Yes. Oh, yes, she would chop all her hair off. She would go after
Daryl. She'd cut her hair off and she'd go rogue again.
She'd be ready for battle. Speaking of Daryl really quick, he has this moment with Judith, and we haven't really seen a moment between him and Judith before.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was him, like, I don't know the exact way to say it, but it was like him talking to Rick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they haven't had a moment together, especially after Rick has died.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed seeing that. And I enjoyed this whole battle between people saying, you know, we have to protect Alexander. We have to protect our people.
Mm-hmm.
And Judith going back to what Carl and Rick have always said and saying, you know, we have to invite more people in. Like, we have to protect people. And it's this ongoing battle. What did you guys think? Who do you side with?
Jesus.
I was like,
it's just so hard. It's like I get both of their points.
Right.
Yeah. I get wanting to, like, see the good in everyone and bring more people in, because what's the point if you don't? But I also get not everyone's good, as we've seen, and whose life is worth risking. And I don't know if there's a right answer. I really,
I mean, they clearly need to go back to asking their three questions. We haven't heard them do that in a long time. That's how they used to do it.
They need a vetting process.
Yes. How do we let these people in? How do we know? Now it's like, we let you in. You go, like, we hold you in a dungeon for a little bit, but then, like, when can we ultimately, figure out if we actually trust you or not?
Yeah.
I go both ways on it, truly, because I think the moment with Daryl and, oh my God, I almost forgot her name for a second. Oh my God, I did forget her name. Judith. I was like, Sophia, what the heck?
Wow, you're bringing it back.
Well, someone mentioned Sophia earlier in the chat, which I'll talk about in a little bit, but, I think the moment between Daryl and Judith was so special just because it's kind of like the moments with her and Negan. Like, he's truthful to her. Mm-hmm. And it is like he's talking to a friend. But whenever she asked him, what would my dad do? Mm-hmm. And he kind of didn't say anything. I'm like, your dad would say, hell no, nobody's coming in here. Like, he went through these phases as well. So you have to, like,
he oscillated back and forth between good guy, I don't want to say this, but savior.
Yeah.
And,
like, the whole him coming to
every
terms
man
was
for
at
himself,
end.
Like, well, every community for himself. Yeah. Because he always stayed loyal and stayed true to his community.
That's true.
And then he wasn't really crazy about outsiders, but that was later on in the season.
Yeah.
Right.
Beforehand, he was like, everybody we can find, let's bring them in, love on them, and let's all survive together.
Yeah. I bet that was before, they almost got eaten by cannibals and whatever, at all these different times throughout the show. But it's also, the thing that I keep forgetting is it's not new people.
Right.
It's their people.
Yeah.
They're not even at this point really talking about letting other people in. It's just doing whatever they can to help Hilltop and help Kingdom,
and
where Carol is and everyone is.
I don't agree. I'm like, y'all just get together in one community. Let's just
you're
safer in numbers anyway. It's just like piling.
They're being
it's
too
so
stubborn.
Confusing to like compartmentalize these people into these different communities.
Yeah.
And then they're going to spin off into another community.
I know. And it's like, I know you need to fit them all in one place and have enough resources, but like, figure it out. That's what you should be working toward.
Well, you guys don't believe that it's smarter for them to be in separate places, because if they're all in one place, it just makes it easier.
But then there's more one target. Numbers if you need to go to war, What if the Whisperers come?
But here's my thing. We've seen them do this before. We've seen them go from the jail. We've seen the whole governor and his people in one spot. Like, we've seen all these people
in
one spot, and they always fall. So maybe it's a good thing that they're in separate areas.
So if, like, one falls, they can go to the next.
Right. I mean, look at the Saviors. The Saviors were smart because they were in different outposts. They had different areas, and they were one of the hardest to take down.
Yeah.
Ooh, you just won that argument. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. It's just so frustrating.
I know it's frustrating.
You
have a cell phone to be like, where you at?
Yeah. I know, you have to like send a letter. One person goes on horseback.
Or send a raven like Game of Thrones.
There
I love that. I know, next month you guys, Game of Thrones is coming back. I want to ask you guys this, because you did bring up Rick, Angel. I want to know if you guys think that it's unfair for Rick to ask, because you had said, Rick had these, like, going back and forth between, hey, we need to bring people in, or no, we can't bring anybody in.
Yeah.
Do you think it's unfair for him to ask what he asked when he asked it? Like, he was just about to die. Carl had just died. Now he's like, I think that we should bring everybody in. And now you're dead. So it's like, well, now we have to let people in. Because this is what, like, your dying wish was.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, in his defense, he didn't know he was going to croak.
Right.
I mean, technically he didn't croak.
He's not dead. And technically he's still there. But I think it's because of Carl dying that has a lot to do with it too, obviously, as we saw. So
he did kind of come to that realization before he died, or quote unquote died.
Right.
Yes, before he was gone from the show. That was like the whole bridge thing. It was, Carl's death was the catalyst of him being like, this is what Carl really wanted. He's right. This is what we should do. He freaking slit someone's throat and was like, all right, stitch him up. So he kind of did come to it before he died, but it's also like, the deathbed wish. You realize everything that you've done wrong and, that
make
this is wrong. But it's also like, it's unfair in the sense of because they were so unstable at that point. Granted, in comparison to what they've been before, they were technically very stable. You know, they're building bridges and have all these groups and whatever. Yeah. But it is a look kind of like, this is what you should do. Everybody figure it out.
Maybe. That's Carl's dying wish, though, more so than Rick's. Like, to me, mm-hmm. I feel like Rick was just perpetuating his legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think definitely.
Maybe it's an unfair question. Maybe the question should be, do you think Rick would have a change of heart knowing what we know now about this new group, the Alphas? I mean, it has been, what,
knowing what we know about Rick, like you said, he does go back and forth a lot, so maybe now he wouldn't be. But yeah, I don't know if he still would have been steadfast on it.
I don't think he would have ever let Lydia in. As soon as they realized where she was from, I think they would have been like, okay, here you go. You know, we've already been through this a long time ago. And especially just seeing, you know, it's like with the flashback tonight with what Michonne went through with the kids, you're never totally like at peace. So you kind of, I just think that, you know, he would have learned from his mistake, but they didn't.
Yeah.
Well, I have something to share with our viewers.
Go ahead and share it, Michelle.
Yes. Hey, guys. Hey, After Buzzers. We love you so much, and we wanted to thank you for being the ESPN, for allowing us to be the ESPN of TV Talk. And we just need your help to grow. So if you're watching us here on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Subscribe to this channel and any other channels that you may watch, any other shows you may watch. If you watch it, we cover it. And no matter what, we love your comments. We love your feedback. Jump into the conversation. Let us know what you think. And being a part of AfterBuzz TV has meant so much to us, and it's all because of you. So let your friends know what we're talking about. Allow them to jump into the conversations. And we love AfterBuzz.
Yes.
We do the show for you guys. So this is exactly, I mean, if it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be here doing this. So thank you for being so loyal. Like Angel said, if you guys are watching us on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Give us a comment. Tweet at us. We love interacting with you guys. We love hearing your thoughts. Speaking of your thoughts, April?
Well, everyone is fully lit in chat as per usual.
Always are.
That's the only way I know how to describe it because it's so amazing. But there's a lot of talk, of course, about the, you know, the whole thing
the
tonight.
The kids.
Yes. Mm.
It just taking, you know, like what actually happened out of it, just like the sheer artistry of the scene where, you know, it's going down. And instead of showing what's actually happening, it's, you know, mimicking it in real life with the walkers. Mm-hmm. But just the look on Michonne's face the whole time, obviously we'll get there, but it's just gut-wrenching.
Yeah. No, I'm glad that you brought it up because the next topic that I want to get into.
Did you guys see that shot where Michonne realized, well, she was being betrayed, obviously. She had that look of betrayal. This is when she's about to be branded, and as she was getting branded, and Jocelyn looked at her in the face, and the camera had Jocelyn and Michonne is screaming, and she's in so much pain. And Jocelyn's like straight face, like take it.
Yeah.
And it was so epic, like just that moment for this show. Mm-hmm. That was everything to me.
It was definitely a haunting image. So much. Yes. I do want to take a step back though, because we do meet Jocelyn in this episode. We find out that she's a high school friend of Michonne's, which took me aback because like they said in the episode, it's been 15 years since they saw each other.
Yeah.
And in this world, in this atmosphere, environment, whatever you want to call it, zombie apocalypse. Could you imagine finding a high school friend?
When I saw that, when they went over that, I was like, that's nuts. I'd be like, what?
Yes. And she's played by, I'm sorry, it was, oh gosh, don't kill me, you guys.
From Queen Sugar.
She's also from True Blood. She's,
oh my gosh.
She plays Tara.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
I was wondering why she looked familiar.
Rutina Wesley.
Okay.
Rutina Wesley. As soon as I saw her, I was like, oh my God, True Blood. This is going to be a lit episode. I didn't think that she was going to be a bad guy, though. Did you guys?
Yes.
Really?
The second she's like, Jocelyn? I just looked at her face and I was like, you crazy girl. She really, you could just like feel it.
But I mean, even after all of those kids, she was surrounded by kids.
It was just like it was very ominous. Her entrance was, you know, obviously everyone who comes up to their gates is typically, you know, run down. They've been in the woods for years, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I guess it's just the way that the episode was set up. I was like, this isn't going to be like a happy memory, we're BFF type thing. I mean, at first I was like, oh, this maybe they're like, you know, it's a pretend friend. Mm. Not a pretend friend, but, you know, like, we're friends, but yeah. I don't really know you. But then to learn that they were close, obviously, that just made it so much worse because it was a huge betrayal.
I'm going to be honest. When we started off this episode, I didn't think that we were going to go as deep as we did. I didn't think that we were going to find out. Obviously, I didn't think this thing with the kids was going to happen, which we're going to touch on. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that we were going to find out what happened with the scars. I also didn't realize that it was only Daryl and Michonne with the scars, because when they showed them, I thought everybody had one.
Same.
So I thought it was like something happened to everybody, mm-hmm. and it wasn't just them too. So I'm glad that it wasn't everybody, that it wasn't like a whole big thing. I mean, it was still a big thing.
Yeah, but everyone was deeply
affected.
Was I
the only one that was on that page that I thought it was
earlier, we thought it was everyone.
Everybody.
We're like,
right?
Oh, something must have happened to the
but
community.
We had assumed it was the community in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw the camera do two backs. And so I knew it was at least two.
Yeah.
But I didn't think it was the whole community. I thought it was funny. I had a little tee-hee-hee moment when I saw Jocelyn and they made her with dreads. And I was like, okay, the whole Michonne connection, you made her look like Michonne. Mm. So I was like, that's interesting. And then there was the former episode, there was a whisperer that had dreads.
Oh, really?
If you guys noticed that at all. I don't know if it was around the time where they were sending Beta after Daryl and his group.
Oh, okay.
But if you look back, there's a whisperer that had dreads, and I thought that was going to be Jocelyn. Mm. I was like, okay.
Wow, you were connecting everything.
You were.
Well, we find out that Jocelyn's not this long-time friend. She's a fake friend, April.
Yeah, she's a friend of me.
Exactly. I wasn't expecting it to take this dark turn. So she's essentially using these kids as her army to raid communities. And she says it to Michonne once they have their showdown, like, you know, I didn't know that it was you, and I'm sorry that it is you. Mm-hmm. So they've done this before. They've done this to several communities. And
she steals their kids. It looks like she's stealing kids.
And she
kids.
Brainwashes them. So this whole brainwashing of kids thing clearly is a thing that happens in the zombie apocalypse that everybody does.
It's just a crazy moment, mainly because you can tell that the kids are, like, the ones, Linus and Winnie, I think, were, like, the two main ones. They're so into it. And this person, who I'm sure obviously has been protecting them for, you know, however many years that they actually couldn't protect themselves, but is clearly off her rocker, like, that's who they listen to, and they don't know any better. It's, you know, not to skip ahead, but it's just like the moment at the very end where Michonne thinks Judith isn't going to come to her because she looks different. Like, that's what people do. In that quick of time, they can, you know, brainwash them. And just the fact that, like, this one lady was able to do it is kind of crazy. Also, I was like, how did y'all raid the whole pantry and the infirmary?
A bunch of kids?
How did y'all carry all this stuff?
How were you that quiet?
That was my one thought.
They're trained killers.
Yeah, so she's been working hard. Yeah.
And there's that guy. He was older. He wasn't exactly a kid. So I think he was carrying out the evil scheme too. So.
Yeah. Agreed. Was anybody else getting Lord of the Flies, Children of the Corn vibes from this episode?
Very Children of the Corn.
Yeah, she was like, that's what it was.
Yes.
Lord of the Flies.
Yes.
What do you think the ultimate reason for them doing this is? Just to steal supplies and food and whatever?
She probably made it like as a survival thing. It's the only way you survive. But
I mean, I'm glad that you asked that question, but I have another question for you guys as well. When she said all the adults in the group didn't make it, do you think it's because she brainwashed the kids to take out the adults they weren't on the same page as she was?
Yeah, it probably started out with a few, and then every time they go to a community, she'd just take the kids with, which is I don't understand.
That's, yeah.
Why would you want to be responsible for that many kids?
Do we wish that this lasted more than just the one episode, that we saw a little bit more of what happened with this? Because it was a really, really interesting storyline. Like,
I would have liked to see kind of how they went about their daily life, you know? Yeah. What they were doing before they ran into them. How she collected all these children.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Raiding communities.
Right? It's interesting.
It was giving me Game of Thrones again vibes, because remember how the kids were killing the guy Cersei.
Yes,
and how he used the kids to slaughter. So it was giving me Game of Thrones vibes.
I wish we would have seen a little more of it, but only because it would have taken a little bit away from the whisperers.
Yeah,
but and like you said earlier, I kind of wanted that. Like, I love the way, I think they're great, you know, great characters, obviously, but it's like, I'm missing that part of The Walking Dead, I guess. I'm missing the parts that we kind of got tonight.
Yeah.
It's like, it has been too focused on
the whispers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, they have to be. Technically, this is new, whatever. But it's like, I miss seeing the moments with, you know, Negan. Like, Michonne's chat with him tonight was amazing.
I miss
seeing her, like, be so crazy tough and not just, like, going off like a dictator all the time.
Yeah.
Tonight, when the kid freaking stabbed her in the stomach and she just keeps going and just tries to disarm him, like, that's, I mean, I don't want to see, like, pregnant people being stabbed in the stomach.
That was tough, though.
Yeah,
it was,
it's like, tough to watch. Those are the moments that are, like, you
Walking
can just
Dead.
That, yeah, that's The Walking Dead. That's what you think of as this being, like, the most epic thing, because you obviously see her going through this emotional roller coaster of, like, dear God, I really don't want to kill you, but my daughter's in there and you're going to kill her,
right,
or you're going to kill me or my unborn baby, and she just has to, you know, take him out.
Literally. If you guys were in this situation, and this is why we find out Michonne has closed off the gates to Alexandria and is only worried about Alexandria is because of everything that happened with these kids and with Jocelyn, because she trusted somebody enough to let them in, an old friend 15 years ago, and she wound up being crazy. If you were in that situation with Michonne, would you have killed those children?
I mean, I'm not a mom, but I'm assuming if I was, the feeling, it's like one of those things, what you wouldn't do
you
for
have to
your
protect
kids.
Your
kids. Yeah. It's either those kids or hers, and then as a mom, she's obviously her kids take, you know, if I didn't have kids in there, I wouldn't have killed them. But, like, I, you know, I'm sure if I did, I'd be like, sorry, you know.
Well, it's like, what other option is there?
Yeah.
Are you gonna, is she just gonna let the kid stab her in the stomach, which would kill the baby?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or is she gonna kill him?
Yeah.
So not only would Judith die, she'd die, her kid would die. It's like,
Yeah, because she tried to talk them out of their decision-making process.
Of course. It's not like she just wished she'd kill
him. After Jocelyn died, they were still coming for her. And it's like, well, after Queen Bee dies, you guys are good.
I know,
like,
and
you don't have to do
like,
this.
Just run. Go away.
Like, just what please, is, leave.
Well, speaking of running, when he does run away, do we think that we're going
to
see her again?
I want to.
I hope so.
I bet, like, she was pretty well-trained. I'm sure she can survive out there.
Well, I thought Winnie was a boy this whole time. Winnie's a girl? The blonde one.
Yeah, the little blonde girl.
That's a girl. I thought that.
Little boy.
She's so
cute.
No,
cutthroat.
I think, like, me personally, as a mother of two, it would have been battle of good versus evil. If you're evil, you got to go down.
Yeah. I want to talk about Michonne's change of heart, because we talked about Negan and bringing him back and seeing him, and we do see this moment between him and Michonne. And I do always love seeing them together, because it's, I don't know, it's, I want to say nostalgic in a way, because it's been so long in the show for them. It's been years, and they've known each other for years at this point. I mean, obviously, we've only known them for, like, two seasons.
Yeah.
But I like seeing their scenes together, because it's so intense. It's, like, so, like, I hate your guts, but I need you. And he's like, I just want to prove to you that I'm not better, but I can be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, like, dropping knowledge about Judith to her. Would you have been offended if he was talking to you guys about your own kid?
I mean, she asked him, you know?
It's, in a way.
In a way. Yeah. And it's just, and I know she wants to know. So it's, and it's hard to hear, though. But, like, you know what you were going to get. You know it's Negan. And you know when you ask him a question like that, he's going to come at you and he's going to give you all of his thoughts. His Negan-esque thoughts.
I mean, but she did find Judith because of what he said.
Yeah, that's true. So I mean, she got to thank him.
Exactly. And it's not like he said
anything. Doubt that'll happen.
It's not like he said anything bad. Like, he literally was complimenting her.
Bad.
He's like, your daughter is your daughter. But it's just the fact that he knew that and she didn't. Like, it's almost like, oh my gosh.
It's a betrayal.
Yeah, you're this person who tried to kill me, my husband, my other kids multiple times, all my friends. You did kill my friends. And you know more about my daughter than I do because I've been so blocked off because of everything that's happened.
Yeah.
And at the end, they had that little moment. So maybe this will make their relationship stronger going forward, Judith and Michonne.
Yes, of course.
So I think maybe, hopefully, it was beneficial in that matter.
I think I liked this episode because they even in the flashback and the present storylines, mm-hmm. they were able to tie it together where Michonne was looking for Judith. I thought that was kind of cool.
That was really cool.
She's like looking for her in the past because of she was kidnapped.
Slaughtering people mm-hmm. for her in both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And in this one, she's looking for her because she went out to go find her friends. I'm glad that she's had a change of heart. Are you guys?
Yeah. Ish.
Ish?
Ish only because I'm happy that she's like actually listening to Judith, and I'm happy that she's willing to help, you know, these people who she's known for so long, slash who have been, you know, in the group involved longer than she has, but who've known Carl, who knew Rick much longer than she has. Mm-hmm. But I am, you know, it's also like, you know what's coming, mm-hmm. so that's gonna suck also, you know? Oh, I don't, yeah. It's like so many of them have died that you just hate for more, yeah. but obviously it's The Walking Dead and that's what has to happen. Yeah. But I just hope, I guess I say ish because I wonder how they can do it in a different way. Like,
that's true.
How can they, okay, this, you know, potential maybe attack or whatever, you know, we see the whispers, see them at the end of the episode, yes, so we yes. have to like assume a certain amount of things. How can you do it different? Fair. Are you gonna be?
Oh no!
You just Game of Thrones heavy tonight, girl.
Yeah. No, that was a connection that was made last week.
Oh,
but
like
maybe that's there's gonna be more of them together, but that leaves like other camps vulnerable. I don't.
Yeah.
This is why I don't want them separated.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they had this good moment. She and Judith did. I mean, it can lead to a lot of other things, I guess. But it's just like, how can they do it as writers, as a show? Literally, can they, okay, we're attacked. We're going to go to war. We're going to be peaceful for a few years. Are they going to do that again? Or yeah. like, no how way. Are we going to do it different yeah. this mm-hmm. time?
Also, when it comes to the fair, they keep bringing up Oceanside. But where is Oceanside?
Everyone in chat has been like, where's Oceanside?
Yeah.
I think Oceanside has gone by the Oceanside.
Like, yeah. Which we know that's what they're known for. They like to keep to themselves of and course. Do their own thing. But
yeah.
But like they're prevalently.
We haven't seen
like,
anything.
Thank
yeah.
you. They're mentioned a lot. And we know of, what's her face? Oh gosh. She plays, she plays the granddaughter of the woman who's
oh, yeah,
killed.
Yeah,
I cannot for the life of me. Because it's been forever and they
yeah.
don't bring
so
her back
we have
up.
Too but many new names.
The young girl who's part of the Oceanside community, she's now, I guess, the leader. I would assume that she would, you know, be having an open line of communication between mm-hmm. the communities, especially if they're invited to the fair.
Yeah.
So
like,
where are they?
They have to be talking to them. They must just, yeah. So I'm sure we're going to see soon, see what's up with them.
Yeah.
I mean, we're already talking about, like, oh, they have this group. Is that too
Christina,
much? I think, oh, that sounds like it could be right. But it's like maybe just the writers are literally like, okay, we can like let them take a chill
yeah.
so we
yeah.
can
yeah.
just pay attention to these people. It's like in chat, Dalton Farine just asked, where's Rosita? We got a lot of characters to keep
yeah.
up with at
There's
this
so
point.
Many.
So it's like they kind of have to keep them in.
It is
I guess.
Truly incredible how many characters this show has.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Agreed. Do you guys think, so we saw the flashback and like I said, it tied up a little bit of loose ends tonight, but we saw why Michonne was closed off and why she closed off Alexandria. Do you think they were going to get a flashback of how the communities reacted to her? Because we saw that teaser scene with her and Carol and they're still like kind of friends, but you could see that there's something different between them.
Yeah.
Do you think
it
they were going to see
a weird energy?
Yeah. Do you think we're going to see a flashback of how the communities react to Michonne's decision?
I
or
hope
do you
so.
Think that's done?
I kind of hope so, just because it's part of the show that I like, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of brings those characters together that haven't been together for so long that I like seeing together. But it's also like, okay, we know everybody was pissed. Whatever. They're getting over it.
Yeah.
Now they're moving along. So maybe not, but I would like. If we did.
Me too.
I don't like how long they're going without bringing up Maggie.
Cindy,
thank you.
Sorry.
Thank you,
oh,
Cindy. See, I could always count on you guys for keeping me on track.
I like that they, or I don't like that they were just like, she decided to leave, and that was it. I wish we could
they
have seen, like,
mention
what...
They don't even mention her.
Yeah, like, what led to that, but that's the whole point, because she's gone now.
Yeah.
She's working on other stuff.
I mean,
but
it's her fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with you, Anja.
It would have been nice to get some details.
Her.
Yeah.
Even talk
they
about
her. Poke her in on a flashback real quick.
I don't think they're going to poke her in on a flashback, but I think that
right?
they should talk about
Right, all Jesus said was she decided to take off. Like, she didn't want to be a part of it. That was all
No,
we
she
got.
Went with that one lady who, you know, like, goes
yes.
to all the
yes.
different communities
oh, okay.
and, like,
yes.
collects art and
she was
things
gonna,
like that.
She took her baby,
yeah.
and that's what she did. Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's I mean,
Maggie
that's, I guess,
is.
All they could do since she didn't want to stay around to give us a
yeah.
flat or a little more.
Yeah.
Any last thoughts on the episode, you guys?
It was just so good. It was definitely one of my favorite ones in a long time. I loved all of the Judith absolutely killed it, and Michonne tonight was just unreal. I literally like tweeted like she deserves all the Emmys. She was,
of course.
She just did so amazing. And
the lip quivering.
Yeah, yes. She's phenomenal. Yeah.
It's going to be hard when swallowing. She leaves
she
next season.
Yeah. She was in it. She was in it. She's
very
so
hard.
Good.
Yes. That is our recap, you guys, of season 9, episode 14, Scars. I want to get into our favorite segment, our favorite kill segment of the episode. There's a wonderful sound bite. Who's your favorite kill segment this episode, you guys?
I have a feeling we all probably have the same one.
Jocelyn!
Yes! That's what I was going to say.
I also liked, I did like, but just to be different, mine was Jocelyn, but I had written down two because I thought we'd all do this. I also liked the one with Judith at the end because it was parallel to her in the past, killing for Judith, and then her killing for her again in the present. So I did like that one.
I also had a second backup, which was her killing the kids, even though we didn't see it. And I know that sounds really morbid. But the toll that it took on her, we really understand why she is the way that she is, especially with her protecting, you know, RJ and Judith and the community and why she closed off. I thought that was a very important kill for her. So that was one of my favorites as well.
I mean, it's lasted 6 years, the effect of it. I mean, or technically a little less than 6 years because she looks like she's about 9 months pregnant. And it's had that effect. But I also think just like literally, I read this in an article earlier. It was talking about the actual like, when she stabbed Jocelyn, like that was because she was literally heartbroken because it was like, you're my real friend.
Yeah.
Dear God, something is wrong with you, but you have like, you have to be dead.
Yeah.
So it was pretty epic.
Yeah. Let's get into some news and gossip. We've got a few things for you guys, some exciting, interesting things. That took us by surprise, Krista.
Yeah, guys. So do you all remember our good old friend Carl? Chandler Riggs is now a DJ, and he just dropped a new song. Riggs says acting is stupid awesome, typical 19-year-old. It's also limiting.
I thought you were going to stop it.
Stupid awesome, also limiting. While the music, while with music, the possibilities are endless. So basically, he's been really DJing hard. He like opened at Electric Daisy Carnival, and he's got a new song with Steve Aoki's label, Dim Mock?
Yeah.
Sure.
That's awesome.
And yeah, but his new song is Endeavor, so go check it out.
We did before we aired, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
It is. It's good.
So that's what's up with him. And then also, speaking of Lauren Cohen, who played Maggie, or still plays, because maybe we'll see her again one day. We don't know. She was interviewing with the off-camera show, and they had brought up her time on The Walking Dead, and they asked if there was ever, like, what was her heaviest moment, or because there's a lot of gross moments in this show, obviously. Yeah. And she said she actually threw up in season 3, taping with Lori Grimm's, her C-section.
Yeah.
She said it was so gruesome and, like, realistic, obviously, because they needed to make it look real, that she had to go chuff up her lunch after doing it.
Yeesh. That's
which
gross,
makes
man.
Sense.
Yeah.
But yeah, all we got for news.
I'm glad that you brought up the whole Lori thing because, I mean, we always forget that Judith is, like, I mean, Michonne is her mom, but, like, Lori's her biological
I know,
mom.
I couldn't find it, but there was an article that someone was doing an interview with Lori, whoever played Lori Grimes. I can't remember her
name.
But why can't I remember her, whatever her actual name is. But she was saying, they had asked her how she feels about, like, Judith,
Sarah Wayne Callies' daughter.
Yeah. And she was like, no, I feel like she's more Michonne's daughter than anyone's, which, I guess now, but you're her biological
mom. She's not even Rick's daughter, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good old Shane. Good old Shane. Now, what would happen if Shane was still on the show?
Oh, I don't know, but that brings us into our prediction episode, our prediction segment, you guys.
And now. Everybody in chat, let us know what your predictions are, too. We already got one. Russell Havoc 04 says, death prediction, the ones who are getting the least screen time may be on the Pike, so you get used to not seeing them.
Oh.
See, I'm going to disagree, just because when they kill somebody off, they want us to feel connected to them. So I feel like they give them more screen time because because it's more like heart wrenching because we're like, oh my gosh, you like made us love you this season and then you got killed.
See, but that does give me, I think that he might be onto something because I'm wondering if they, because now they know what potentially where two of these established, like the Whisperers know where a couple of these groups are now. Yeah. They know where they're residing, and if a majority of them are going to be at the fair, which now we know Michonne's going to be there, and they're not going to kill her off just yet, or whatever they end up doing with her. And Judith is going to be there, and Daryl and them are in the woods, so maybe, like, the people that get attacked are people that are behind that aren't at the fair. And she was so worried about, like, sending people to the fair to get hurt. What if, like, the threats now... with not the people who,
that's a good, that's a good point. I like that prediction.
Because then it's like, but then at least she's sick. I don't know. It's just hard.
I think,
I'm just gasping because I don't even know what to say.
I think the Whisperers are going to ambush the fair, and it's going to be a tragic
fair.
I do agree that they're going to attack the fair. I think
that's the way it's going to go?
I do think, I like your prediction.
I'll
say
they're
that's
going the
cool.
opposite way.
I do think that they're going to go toward the fair.
I think definitely, you know, the kind of like newer, I call them side characters, because it's, I definitely think some of those will die because you have to have some. There are all these people that end up dying. I'm like, I've never seen you before. So, you know, they have those fillers. But someone's definitely going to get taken out. And it scares me because I know it's not Daryl. Well, actually,
About to predict, well, Beta's going to come back, and I think he's going to be, the force behind going
Beta's
to the Red Fair.
I think
he's going to have an agenda against, obviously, Daryl, who almost killed him. So I think, I don't know.
What about, all I can think is Connie. She's the only one who everyone's been like, oh my gosh, we're obsessed with her now.
Connie.
And, you know, she essentially is, not to me, but she's expendable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's new. This is this. I don't know. We'll see, I guess.
Either way, someone's dying.
Yeah. Yes. Let us know your predictions, guys. That is, once again, our review of The Walking Dead Season 9, Episode 14, Scars. Let our fans know where they can find you, you guys.
Hey, guys. You can find me all over social media at Krista Falenge.
Hey, guys. You can find me, Angel Taylor, at Angel Taylor _ Angels with an E at the end.
Nice. Y'all can find me everywhere at April Wissenhant.
And I am Timothy Michael. You can find me everywhere at I am Timothy Mike. I'm so glad we had a full panel, you guys.
Yeah,
hopefully
you
can keep this up for next week. We will see you guys same time, same night next week.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.